thought it was the Lone Ranger, didn't you? Well. We were a little bit late this morning, and I would just love to blame my wife for it, but I can't. It was all my problem. So being late, I'll preach over just to make up for it. I don't know how many more times I'll be able to stand up here and preach to you, but I'm here this morning,
yes,
and I sure am glad to see you, and I trust that you came here for one reason, that was praise the Lord. If you would look in your Bible and turn to Luke, all my scripture today will be in Luke. The first one is in chapter 5. You find that and then turn over and put a $100 bill over where we could find the next one. It's in Luke 12. You just mark that. We'll get to it in a little bit. You find Luke, preacher, that's in the New Testament. See, you're looking in the wrong place. Title of the message today, if you want to write it down, usually I have something unique, but today the title of the message today is just simply Total Surrender. Think about that now. Total Surrender. I was reading the obituaries, and I came to this expression of a man that had passed away. And he said he had a passion for God and for Fords and his wife, in that order. And I took a quick lick real quick because I thought, well, when did the preacher die? Because if you don't know our pastor very well, he has a great passion for God. Believe that. And he is obsessed with Fords. And I think he even loves his wife a little bit. But if he gets the Fords before his wife, he's in trouble. But we appreciate the pastor. And I'm like her little, precious little girl said that she loved her, I think it was her daddy, she didn't necessarily like to, but she loved him anyway. But if you don't love your pastor, listen to me very carefully, if you don't love your pastor, you can get hurt. Lord appointed him to this position. And in the scripture, and I want to read the first from chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now you will give me time and not get worried with me, won't you? Yeah, I know you. You find it?
Amen.
And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him, that's upon Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Notice that word, nets. And Simon said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Notice, single. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishers, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Notice verse 8. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they were taking. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsake all and followed him. Now here's a situation that if you think about it, they'd worked all night. That was the time that in their profession they did that big part of the time. They fished all night long. I can sympathize with them a little bit for going fishing and catching nothing. And you sit there and wait on the fish to finally to bite, and they ain't hungry that day. But Simon had an opinion about it, and they were very dissatisfied with it. And yet God said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. When we are sometimes at our lowest degree, God is getting ready to do a miracle. And we have to surrender ourselves to that. Amen. I remember, I think it was 1977, that I went with a group over to Haiti, and we spent a little over a week preaching and teaching, and we had gone over to Cape Haitian and then back to Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti. The night before we were to leave, coming back, we had planned to go out and try to win people to Christ. And it came one of those sudden storms. I mean, it poured rain, lightning, and thunder. So we was a little bit disappointed of what happened. We thought we was going to get to do the will of the Lord, but it just didn't seem like it was. But despite all, it could rain over there, and in just a little bit, it's all gone. I mean, it's the type of soil, the sand, and it just takes it all up. So at 10 o'clock at night, now think about this. At 10 o'clock at night, we got on this rickety old bus and went up on this hill where there was a water tower. That was the only light in the community. It shone a little bit, and then around the bottom of that tower was concrete and probably about, 10 foot wide around the bottom of the pole. And so we had one of the fellows, I think he was from Bob Jones University,
had brought along a trombone. He walked out on that and began to play. And I'm telling you, it was amazing how suddenly from all those places that was on that hill, suddenly they begin to come out by the dozens. And I would have figured they would have been at least 100. Now, it was hard to tell how many because there was no light out where they were. And the people in Haiti are black. I mean, our African Americans are just a beautiful brown, but in Haiti, they're black. And so when I got up to stand up to do my thing, I looked out and all I could see was white eyes. I mean, just everywhere. And God gave me a blessing there that I will never forget. Because that evening at 10 o'clock at night, souls got saved. We had no idea how many. But somebody has said, if life gives you a lemon, use it to make lemonade. And so that is part of what we're going to talk about today. And we have four things that I want to cover, and I hope you won't get worried when I tell you how many, because usually I don't have more than 3 points, but today I've got 106. Yeah. Oh, now that's not right. Now I've only got four today, and these four topics are: surrender your assets, surrender your will, surrender your soul, and surrender your life. Struggle between things and surrender your assets. Struggle between things and surrender can be a hard thing. How many of you, if you would be honest with me, how many of you get a little bit discouraged giving up your things?
Amen, preacher. Amen.
We are possessed with things.
Yes,
I get so discouraged, and I'm guilty partly of that. I don't envy people with new cars anymore. When I see on television that they're asking $40,000 for a Chevrolet.
Yeah. Amen,
and I could have bought a brand new Chevrolet back when I was young for $900.
Yeah.
You say, not really, preacher, I wouldn't lie to you. But now it seems like it is, who wants the best car? Who can dress the best? You've noticed I haven't worn a tie for quite a while. If I had my way to go back, the man invented it, I would hang him with that tie. But we are so gathered up with it to surrender our assets, and we hang on to them. I don't want you to turn to these other scriptures. Now, I'll read and tell you where they are, but you don't turn to them. In Luke 18:24, a young man or a man came to Jesus, and he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a good question, isn't it? I'd like for a lot of people, maybe some in this auditorium today, ask that same question. Preacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, he quoted many of the commandments to this man. And the man answered, he said, This is the ignorant version now you're getting. The man said, look, I've done these from my childhood up. Is that all it takes, is just obeying the commandments? And Jesus said unto him, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you can have eternal life. Distribute this. That's the one thing that is standing between you and eternal life. And you can cry your eyes out when you stop to think what this man did. The Bible said he turned away sadly because he had great riches. How many wretched people do you know today that are dying and going to hell? And probably part of the problem is they refuse to turn loose all the riches. So that is number one, surrender your assets. Secondly is surrender your will, which is verse 5 in our reading today. Peter obeyed God without much hope. Why did Peter say what he said? He said, now, we've toiled all night and we haven't caught anything. But he said, at thy will, I will let down the net. You notice that word, N-E-T? What did Jesus say? Listen to me carefully now. I'm making a point. Jesus said, let down the nets, N-E-T-S, plural, for a draught. And Simon said, well, okay, I'll let down the net. You notice that? The difference. Jesus said, you've let down a net, and things is going to work out for you.
Yeah.
But Peter half-heartedly did what the Lord asked him to do. Now, I ask you, be honest with me, how many of you have problems of surrendering your will? Peter said, I will let down the net. Now, again, the question comes to us is to, will we obey completely what God has said, or just part of it? Our land, I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but if you're breathing, you're still alive, you know this country of ours is in a mess.
Amen, preacher.
And the Lord promised years and years ago, back in the Old Testament, he said that if we would get away from our evil ways and pray and seek his face, then I shall hear from heaven and will forgive your sins and heal your lands. Why do you think God has allowed this virus to come on our country?
Amen.
You say, preacher, are you saying that God caused it? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that he is willing. And how great it would be, it seemed like that the government, the president, past and present, and our governors and mayors and so forth are trying their best to get everybody vaccinated, but it's almost impossible. My wife and I have tried to make arrangements to get shots. If any of you nurses have got any in your pocket, let me know. We'll see you later. But when Jesus said to him to let it down and half-hearted instead, and there is a song that says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Another one that says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. And then third, surrender your soul. That's in verse 8. Now I want you to turn over to Luke, the other place I told you, Luke chapter 12. I'll give you time to turn over there. We'll just take a minute. Just take a minute because I've got to turn there too. Are you getting weary with me?
No, sir.
Well, I'll just keep at it until you do, I guess. Now, over in chapter 12, verse 16, this is important because this is surrender your soul. And verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Now, I want you to notice the personal pronouns in these next verses. I'm gonna read them a little extra loud. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, notice that, I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God, 37 times in the Bible, you hear that expression, but God. You better pay some attention to what you're saying, but God had something to say. But God said unto him, thou fool. That's strong language. Yeah. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall these things be? We're talking about surrendering your soul. I think about a lot of people that are sitting in congregations. We still have a lot of people going to church in our land. Yeah. But I'm sorry, but I think a lot of them are just there because they feel like they have to go to church. That's not a good reason to feel like that you have to go to church. No. You ought to go to church because you want to go to church. Amen. Now, you might not, if you had known ahead of time and you knew I was preaching, you might have said, I don't want to go. But you sure would have missed out on a good sermon.
There you go.
I like it.
I
don't know whether you do or not, but I like the sermon. I may not present it very well, but I like the sermon. But the Lord said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's in Luke that we just read. He goes from master. In the beginning, when we read about Peter, he uses the word master, which really means teacher.
Yeah.
I think that's a good expression of Jesus. He is our teacher. The Holy Spirit really is the schoolmaster. People think they're talking about the teacher as a schoolmaster, but that's not true. The schoolmaster in those days was the one that brought people to the teacher, to the rabbi. But that was the word that Peter used in the beginning. And now he's come down to this expression, and he turns and calls him Lord, capital O-R-D. There's a big difference, hear me now. There's a big difference between master and Lord. We need to surrender our soul because it is surrendering our soul. What is your soul? Is it your lungs and eyes and arms and legs? No, that's your body. Your soul is that inward part that God created within you before you were born into this world.
Amen.
Tell me, listen to me now. Those that want to destroy those babies in the mother's womb, I don't know how they can do it, and they're going to be responsible one day.
Amen.
And take all those beautiful little babies. I could sit and cry if it helped any. And they talk about how that they split their heads and draw their brains out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine anything so terrible? Because they're killing babies.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be bothered by it. But he said, from master, that's teacher, to the Lord. Now, the Lord does mean master, it means teacher, it means savior, it means everything divine. When you accept somebody as Lord, you are surrendering your soul. And that's where things begin to get better.
Yeah.
When we can get to the place that we can concede or surrender our souls. But in the meantime, we have held back some of these things we've already talked about, our assets and not doing the will of the Lord. But to say your soul, there is a song. We've sung it here. And an author wrote this, turn your eyes upon Jesus. You hear me now? And your songs in the choir did things for me because this went right along with saying, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That is a surrender to your life. Oh, listen. Or that's a surrender to your soul. And finally, we come down to the surrender of your life. And you notice in the scripture that they read, after that they had caught all the fish, two boats was loaded down. Peter had called the Master Lord and things. And now here is an expression that goes along with surrendering your life. And it says, and they forsook all and followed him. Now, that seems like such an easy thing. But let's go back and see Peter's profession. He was a fisherman. That's how he made a living. He had his brother, his dad, in a boat, and they fished and made a living. And now when this is all said and done, Peter has got a glimpse of the glory of God.
Amen.
And calls him not only master, but calls him Lord. And they are leaving all this behind, everything. Your business. I had a good position with Sears and Rareback. I was on the good side of the manager of that store. He used to call me up and out in the departments that I ran, and he'd say, Clee, are you busy? And I, well, not too much. Can you come on back and sit down and let's have a talk? Well, when he first began to do that, I wondered, what have I done wrong now? But we went back, and Mr. Ruther just wanted to talk. And what a joy it was. And when I finally surrendered to go to a little church in Pennsylvania, to make about a fourth of what I was making at Sears, I could not fight it any longer. I realized that's what the Lord wanted me to do. I don't think that my wife was too thrilled with me, because we had bought a home, nice little home there in Austintown, which was a part of Youngstown, Ohio. But she surrendered along with me. That's what you wives do. Amen. Say amen, woman. If I have to drag it out of you, I will. But I think of a man who had a good business, making good money.
Amen.
And the Lord called him to pastor a church.
Yep.
Dealt with him so strongly after much prayer and consideration, he sold that business and gave up to pastor a Baptist church. That man's name was Kim Stone.
Amen.
And I'm sure that there are other people in this congregation that have done the same thing, to give up. I hear that someone in our congregation, I'm not going to mention any particular names, but they have traded their goats and got a Jersey cow.
And they wouldn't take nothing for it, I'll tell you that.
Now, I don't know whether that's a good trade or not, but they are faithful people who love the Lord, and I can kid them, and they still love me, even though his wife is one of the meanest women in Wayne County. So hard to get along, it's pathetic. But she loves me, and I love her. She knows I'm just kidding her. But I'll not tell you who that is. I'll not tell you that their first names are Jeremy and Jesse. But folks, listen. To leave everything behind means complete surrender to the Lord. Surrender your life. That means henceforth, from today, from now on, as long as I live, I will follow the Lord. Do you have that determination today? Oh, it went a long time over, didn't it? Ooh, boy, that'll surprise him. But you got to admit, I was late getting started, but okay. Oh, I feel better already after saying that. But I am asking you today, there's people in this congregation that needs to surrender their assets. Perhaps, maybe not, but I'm sure there's some that needs to surrender their will. I don't know who they are,
Amen.
But I know there must be some of them that need to surrender their soul. And perhaps there's some of you who need to surrender your life. And Father in heaven, pray with me, folks. I pray that you'd use this message to your glory. Decisions will be made today, Father, not necessarily just in the minds of those that are sitting here, but Lord, some of us need to come to the altar in consideration of our ideas about surrender. And commit things completely to you and bless this local Liberty Baptist Church, a light in this community, a light that you have planted here, Lord. And I pray that we'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. And Lord, bless our pastor. Keep him in your will, encourage him. Continue to bless those, Lord, that lead the singing and play the music. This is so important. The prayers and the testimonies, those that are ordained to you, Lord. So I pray that there be decisions made and there will be some evidence as we listen to this song of invitation. Amen. Would you stand, please?